Good morning. I greet you in the worthy name of Jesus, the one who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light to show forth his praises. And I bring you greetings from Catlett Pine Grove Church. It is a pleasure to be here again. Changes in the family brought us here. And it is a great pleasure to see you all again. It is a great pleasure to see you, Irvin. You have been a pillar in my life, and I thank you. And many others, you have been a blessing to me, and I thank you. I chose to speak about adjusting to changes and maturing through that. Do we like changes? I do not like changes. And I was so blessed with what James shared this morning about God making the frost different from each other and the leaves. God likes diversity. God loves diversity. He created all of us for his glory. And not all of us can do things the same as the one beside us. But yet he has created us that way. And he has created us in such a unique fashion that changes are constantly coming to our life. And through all that, he expects us to show forth his praises. I like that. For a prelude to the message, let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 103. For a few thoughts to direct our mind heavenward, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He make known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. The place whereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments, to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength. that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless you, the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do we see changes in here? For example, a flower growing out of the earth, enjoying the sunshine and the showers, flourishing in its beauty, and then withering away, getting hit with the frost, and getting mowed over. That's change. That's the kind of change I would like to look at a little bit. Number one is two parents. Number two, two youth. Number three, two believers. I got three sections here. We understand the Lord knows us through and through. He can read what we think. He knows what's inside our heart. His mercy is great toward those that fear him. And if we ask him, he will remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. That is awesome. His mercy is everlasting and to everlasting upon them that fear him. His righteousness reaches unto children's children. That is change. As parents, what is our goal? How does God feel about my goal? We were at a wedding Friday, and I so enjoyed that wedding. My wife and I have been at that place in year 2000, December 15. We did not stay newlyweds forever. Change came to us. We had goals because we knew that we change inside. We change. We get older. We are on this side of heaven and we are subject to pain, suffering, and death, and our body tends to head that way. And if you're 40, it starts going more so that way. I testify to that. How do I cope and handle changes in my life? It wasn't long after we were married, my wife met me at the door of the house after I came home from work, tired. She said, "Guess what? You're going to be a daddy." I was overjoyed. That brought change to our lives. That happened several times. In fact, it happened six times to our marriage, where God brought a new one to our home. And the changes were so dramatic with each one coming, giving of more love to this baby, and he's growing, and then giving love to baby number two. And he's growing and giving love to baby number three, and he's growing, and baby number four, and he's growing, a she. And the stress level came a little high for me. I could no longer stand a ring on my cell phone. It aggravated me. I don't know why. Just out of the blue, I changed it to standard ring. It's still that way. Standard ring or vibrate. How do I cope and handle changes in my life? Do I handle them in such a way that continues, that allows me to grow, to mature? Or do I respond to it and become in a negative way and become a recluse? Let's turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. beginning in reading in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem. This was Mary and Joseph and Jesus. They went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with the God of man. That is a blessed scripture here. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. He was changing and in favor with God and man. I cannot believe the anguish that went through Mary and Joseph as they were traveling home, thinking Jesus had been traveling with them in the caravan there. He was not with them. And it's not like parents to just drop their child like that. The best thing to do was to go back where they last saw him. By the time they came back to the place where they last saw him, Mary was aggravated. She was reacting from the sorrow that went through her mind, the stress. Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Jesus just looked at her and said, How is it that you are so looking for me? Don't you know that I'm to be about my father's business? Do you realize that I must be about my father's business? And Mary didn't understand. It doesn't say much about Joseph. But she kept it all in her heart. This is change. That's change for us parents. Our children grow up. My youngest is now 6 years old. And I am 42. In a couple years, she's going to be a teenager. And where does that put the oldest child? That puts me somewhere. I have to go somewhere whether I want to or not. I'm faced with that. I have to be acknowledging change. And I have to accept that. How do I work with that? Do I still hang to my goal? When our children were just, when we knew that there was another one on the way, we would pray for them. We realized that they were a gift from God, given to us. So we prayed for it, and it wiggled and kicked. When my wife said, it's time now, we knelt and prayed for them into this world. Committed it all to God. We consider them a gift from God, given to us with love, and we are to give them back to God with love. Those are the kind of changes that parents are faced with. And we do that in the fear of God. We realize that our children are from God and they are to be about their Father's business. We ponder on that. We don't understand everything, but we allow them to grow and we are happy that they grow. To our youth, number two, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy 1. Here we have a youth. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us, in our hearts. It appears to me Paul spoke with Timothy and brought him to a deeper relationship with God. Timothy was a young man with a faithful grandmother. That is change. With a mom, that is change. There, we see they are getting older, and Timothy has more responsibilities. Later in the scriptures, Timothy is a preacher of righteousness, following Paul's footprints. And it also says, Timothy, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Timothy had a high stress level. Timothy was coping with change, things that changed. How do we as youth do that? Can we hold fast the faith? Can we allow ourselves to grow? I would like to tell you a story. A big eagle has a desire to start a family. I'm not used to staying behind a pulpit. I have to mind that mic. She built her nest on the top of a tall tree where nothing can get to it. And she uses briars and sticks. And she makes it really, really uncomfortable with prickly briars sticking out. And they hang together. Then she gets some lamb or a rabbit and uses that fur and makes a nice, cozy nest. When she has her cozy nest, she will lay her eggs in there. And when they hatch, those little eagles have yellow fuzzy feathers. She takes good care of them. She gets them clean kills, good food. Takes well care of them. Good care. The time comes when Junior is growing and she flutters over them and beats them and she makes the yellow feathers fly out. A thrashing. She thrashes her Junior. Then she slowly but surely starts jerking the fur out. And Junior has to start sitting on the pricks. The nest starts becoming uncomfortable. And his feathers start to grow. Gets harder feathers. One day she says, Junior, it's time to fly. You need to fly. We are birds of the air. And our nature is to fly above the storm. You cannot always stay down here where the storm flies over top of you and makes you all wet every time. Lightning could strike you in this big tree. She makes him get on top of her. She takes him up way high. Then she knocks him off. Says, fly, Junior, fly, go. And he cannot fly. And he starts falling, and he says, help, Mom, I'm to die. And she soars down and flies underneath him and picks him up and takes him up again and shakes him off and says, fly, Junior, fly. You need to learn how to fly. But Junior would rather stay in his nice warm nest, so she jerks all the rabbit fur out. Now he wants to get out. It's very uncomfortable. By and by, he learns how to fly. This is change coming to his life. How does he work with that? He has to fly. She doesn't want him to be like the rooster that can't get higher than a fence post and walks around all soaked up in the rain. The time comes when he can fly thanks to his mother. And when the storm comes, he goes up and flies above the storm. That's change coming to us. That's positive change. Now, I would like to tell you another story. It's getting a little close home now, but that's the way it is. Deacons are wide exposed. By the way, I'm a deacon at Pine Grove. When I was growing up, I did not have an older brother because I was the oldest brother. And so Uncle Steve was basically my uncle, oldest brother. I so enjoyed him. He had a big three-wheeler that could go 65 miles per hour. And in the evening, he would come over to our farm, and we would take our binoculars and go look for deer in the summertime. I so enjoyed that. I really did. And we would sneak up to the fence rows on the back of the Gulick farm and sometimes crawl out so the deer wouldn't see us and slowly scan the field and check everything. And then watch them with our binoculars. And there were quite a few there, and we kept track of them. And it seemed like I always leaned onto him. He took me on the truck for rides to Walkersville, Maryland to get cow feed. And then we'd always stop at McDonald's and get whatever, and it always was a big Hi-C orange to go with that. One day he allowed me to drive that truck up there, and it was empty. Did not have a load. I was not allowed to drive a loaded truck. The time came when he left for Tennessee, and I was devastated. It seemed like the bottom fell out of whatever. Do we come to those places? How do we handle that? I went back there and looked for deer by myself. It was not fun. I eventually took a brother with me. I start reaching out. Reach out some more. I had to grow. Meet more people. Reach out. What am I here for? Am I here to do my own thing? Do I always rely on others to lead and guide me? There are people that do some of that, but is that my calling? I have to think of the middle verse in the Bible. The very middle verse in the Bible, it says, Psalm 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I like that verse. And to whom do I look for my strength, for my guidance? It's God. That is what we are called to do. We are called to show forth His praises. That's our calling. Mothers sometimes long to have their children all around them, all around the table. Oh, she hates when they go. Can't we just all stay here? I've heard a mother say that, and I don't think that's very healthy. I think it's good when children go to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what we're called to do in the last part of Matthew there. There's a blessing in that. That allows us to grow and be mindful of our calling and our mission, which is to reach out and show forth His praises to others. That is our calling. We need to grow. We need to learn how to fly. To the believers, Acts 1. Acts 1. We'll start reading in verse 1 to verse 14. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode with both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. Can you imagine as they stood out here, not understanding the mission of Jesus to the fullest extent there, thinking of a carnal kingdom, earthly kingdom? And then Jesus slowly lifted up and went away from them. We see parting. Partings are so painful. I do not like partings, but we have to face it because change will come. They had parting there. They had been looking up and longing, Jesus, whatever. And they looked around and two men were standing there in white apparel. And he said, the way you saw him go up, so will he return. They were supposed to go to Jerusalem and wait until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So they did. They went back to Jerusalem. And what did they do while they were waiting? They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. What else did they do? The latter part of that chapter says they started working while they waited. That is a good thing for us to do. Work while you wait on the Lord. And I like to look at waiting also as serving, like a waiter at a cafe. They serve. So we work and we serve. Even while we are wondering what's next, do the best you can. You might not know what's going to happen next, but let's keep on working like Joseph did in Genesis. He kept on working, exercising his mind. While he was in prison, he even became the prison keeper because of that. And whatever he did was blessed. He kept his mind exercised. They were working while they waited. Acts 2, verses 1 to 7. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as with a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. To believers, as we adjust to change, let's be mindful to keep on working. Here we can see they started understanding. They understood. They understood others. Other people started understanding them when they talked. They understand the wonderful works of God. That was Christ in action. Acts 2. Verses 37 to 47. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord, our God, shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they were that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had needed. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Positive reaction to the great changes that came to their life. The changes were so great they didn't know how to handle it. Peter denied Jesus. It was too much. Later he repented. Judas sought after his money, half-heartedly repented, reacted in a negative way. He couldn't handle things. He was not filled with Jesus in his heart. We want to be Christ in action. We want to be steadfast. We want to be the group of believers or the church that represent Christ. That's what we want to be. In spite of all the changes that come to us, that's what we want to be. Hebrews 12. If I can find it here. Hebrews 12, first three verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. It's easy to become weary and faint in our minds, and we need each other. That is the conclusion of my message to you. I love you. I want you to abound more and more in the Lord. I encourage you to do that and pray for us as we serve the uttermost parts of the earth, all the way up there in Virginia. God bless you. Shall we kneel for prayer?